out. I had something on my coat sleeve, so now you don't have to stare at that all the time, wondering what it is. We've got seven kids. I bumped something. We don't know what it is. There's no telling, but it was on my coat, and so we're going to take that off this morning. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 1, it says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed." Let's pray together today. Father, we bow before you today. And God, we want to say that we love you. We thank you for first loving us. And God, I'm thankful today that as we sit here, Lord, we've seen the signs. Lord, we have a completed Bible. We have all of the plan and all of the story that has been laid out for us. But God, help us as we look back today at some of the parallels between the life of Christ and the life of Jonah. God, may it reinforce our faith. Lord, may it grow us. And Lord, may it help us to see your love for us. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this passage, what we're really going to look at today is the life of Jonah and the life of Christ. You know, another place of Scripture, it says, again, as the prophet Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man would be. And it said, "And behold, one greater than Jonah is here." And we're going to look at the life of Jonah and also how it parallels the life of Christ. But I wanted to say this first about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They came to Jesus wanting a sign. And he said to them two things. He said, number one, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And let me tell you what that means for us today. There's a lot of us that are like that. We might say to God, "I'll do this if you show me this," or "I'll do whatever if you'll just give me some sort of sign from heaven." And I think a lot of times what God wants us to do is he wants us just to trust him and to live out the process. A lot of times somebody will want a sign and God will give them a sign, and then they'll say, "I want another sign," and then "give me another sign and give me this." God just wants us to trust him. He said to do it, and so if he said do it, we ought to do it, and we ought to live our lives in that way. But another thing he said was they could read the sky. He said you could see the sky and say it's red and it's going to be foul weather, or whatever the case may be. This is red and lowering, and so it'll be fair weather, or vice versa. And they could discern those things, but they could not discern the times that they lived in. And there are people like us that are like that here. You know, there's all kind of, if you live out here in the country, there's all kind of old wives' tales and all this. Me and Brother Randy was laughing a while back. Somebody told us you could tell it's going to be a cold winter when you see hogs packing sticks. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a hog pack a stick, or I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to build a bed, they're going to build a fire, or whatever they're going to do with it. But so if you see a hog packing a stick, you know it's about to be cold weather, I guess. But we say stuff like that. You know, people look off the pecan trees on when they bloom. And I've heard people say that when the pecan trees bloom, that means winter's over. It's all that. Well, guess what? If you'd like to look around at our world today, I hope you can discern the times. The Bible said that in the last days that there'd be wars and rumors of wars. There'd be earthquakes and weather events in diverse places. I don't know if you've checked out your world today, but I want you to know that we ought to be able to read the signs of the time and say we are in the very last of the last days. And so we ought to be able to discern that today. The Pharisees couldn't. And they asked for a sign, and Jesus said, "The only sign I'm going to give you is that of the prophet Jonah." And he left it at that. But today we have the benefit of knowing the whole story. And so what did Jesus mean when he said, "I'm going to give you a sign like of that of the prophet Jonah. Well, I just want to tell you, I'm going to tell you the story of Jonah today, and then we're going to see how much his life paralleled with that of Jesus Christ. Jonah was an Old Testament prophet, and God comes to Jonah and says, Jonah, I want you to go down to the city of Nineveh, which was a great city, had thousands of people living there. And he said, I want you to preach to the city of Nineveh to repent, because in 40 days, I'll overthrow the city. You see, one thing that we see that's so great about that is that God loves sinners. You know that? You know what God could have done? He could have said, Jonah, you just stay back and I'm going to fire down fire and brimstone upon Nineveh. Man, the cry from that city is great, and their sin is great, and wickedness is great, and I'm going to pour it out my wrath upon them. But that's not what he did. He said, I'm going to send a prophet named Jonah into the city to preach to repent, because I'm going to overthrow the city in 40 days. God gave him a warning. He gave him a prophet. He gave him hope. And that is what God does for us today. Folks, I tell my kids sometimes when I wake them up, I'll say, can you believe that God did it again? That God gave us another day? Because you know what we should have done? We should have woke up this morning with fire and brimstone being rained down upon this earth because of the wickedness and sin and evil that is in it. But God is a loving and kind and merciful God, and he gave us another day. Amen? He gave lost people another day to believe in Jesus Christ. And so he gave Nineveh another day. He said, I love the people of Nineveh. But Jonah had different plans. Jonah ran from the presence of God, and he went and got on a ship and was sailing to another town called Joppa. He didn't want to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. Now, do you know why? It wasn't because Jonah wasn't a good public speaker. It wasn't because Jonah just wanted to live like the world. He didn't want to go down and preach to the people of Nineveh because he hated the people of Nineveh. He hated their race. He hated their culture. He hated what they stood for. He hated everything about them, and the truth be known, Jonah didn't want the people of Nineveh to be saved. He didn't want them to be, to have that hope. He wanted God just to overthrow the city in 40 days and let them have it. And so Jonah goes down and he gets on this ship and he flees from the presence of God because he hates the people of Nineveh. But the Lord come looking for Jonah. He didn't let Jonah off the hook. He didn't say, well, I'll go find somebody else or I'll get it done some other way. You see, while Jonah was on that ship going to Joppa, God sent a great storm upon the sea. And man, this storm began to whip up on the seas and the waves began to crash against the boat. And can you imagine being there for a minute? This isn't like our day. They didn't get on the radar and the GPS and see what was going on. They didn't. Here they are. They're in a wooden vessel with no motor, with no electricity, with no light, and the waves are beating the ship to pieces. I mean, this boat is being broke up as we speak, and they are fearing for their lives. And so the sailors, the Bible says, begin to throw things overboard. They said, we're going to lighten this ship. We're going to get this right. And man, they're wondering what in the world's happening and why this is happening to them. And as they do that, they find that Jonah is in the belly of the ship asleep. And one of the sailors wakes him up and he says this, and the Bible says, he says, what meanest thou, O sleeper? You know what he said? He said, what's up with this? He said, what is up with this? We're about to perish. We're about to die. We're throwing stuff overboard. And here you are down here in the belly of the ship asleep. Who are you? And he said, my name is Jonah. And I fear the Lord God of Israel. the creator of the heavens and the earth and the sea. And he tells them, I'm the reason why this ship is in danger. He said, God told me to go preach to the people of Nineveh, but I didn't want to go, and I got on this ship, and I'm going to Joppa, and I'm the reason why all this is taking place. Well, they started throwing more stuff overboard, and they didn't know what to do. They told Jonah, they said, you need to pray to your God, and you need to ask for mercy for us that this doesn't happen, that this ship doesn't sink while we're on it. Well, the ship still getting beat to pieces. They asked Jonah, they said, Jonah, what do we need to do? How can we stop this? How can we be saved? Jonah says, y'all got to throw me overboard. Get me out of here. Get me out of the ship. And once I'm out of here, y'all be okay. We know what they said. They said, oh, we don't want to do that. You know, they don't want to throw Jonah overboard. So that the Bible says they rowed even that much harder trying to get that ship to the shore. But they couldn't do it. All for naught. And so finally they come to the conclusion, you know what, we got to toss this guy overboard. We got to get him out of here. And before they do, they pray to God. They say, God, don't let his innocent blood be on our hands. I mean, don't let our innocent hands have his blood on it. We don't want to do this, but he's left us no choice. We've got to throw him overboard. And so they throw Jonah overboard, and the Bible says the sea's calmed, and the ship survives. And God, the Bible said, had prepared a great fish, the New Testament calls it a whale, to swallow Jonah up. You see, Jonah's life was sacrificed for others. Do you know if he'd have stayed on the ship would have sank. But they sacrificed his life for others, and God had prepared this great fish, this whale, swallows Jonah up. And can you imagine, for 3 days and 3 nights, Jonah lived in the belly of the whale. Now, I've read my children Bible stories before as they've grown up. And when you read about Jonah and the whale in the children's Bible stories, somehow or another, Jonah got pajamas on and he's got a candle down there. Now, I don't think he really had that in the real story, right? He's not down there with the candle on in the little thing with his pajamas on for 3 days and three nights. Can you imagine what it would have been like to live in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights? I want to tell you, it was not a pretty sight. Some of y'all fish and have done all this. Do y'all know what fish smells like? Do y'all know what fish smells like that this whale has been eating and it's been living in his stomach along with Jonah, and Jonah's in there with all that? Man, if you went over there and read the book of Jonah, in chapter 2, when he begins to cry out to God, he says some things. He says, I've been taken to the bottom of the earth. He said, I've been down here amongst the mountains that are under the sea. He said, the waves come past me about. I think Jonah spent 3 days and three nights doing this. Gasping for air. As the belly fills up with water, and he's trying to find somewhere to breathe. I think he smelled things that were so vile that we don't even want to imagine it. Not to mention the fact that he's doing all this in a pitch black darkness that he cannot see his hand in front of his face. And so Jonah suffered for 3 days and three nights. The Bible, he said that the seaweed is wrapped around my head. And so he suffers for 3 days and for three nights in the belly of this whale. And he cries out to God and said, and he repents and says that I've suffered for these things. And he repents to God, and God gets that whale to swim to the seashore, and he vomits Jonah up on the shore. Isn't that a wonderful sight? Amen. I mean, can you imagine what Jonah looked like as the whale throws him up on the shore and he's been there for 3 days and three nights? What a sight that must have been. That sight is not the sight of victory, amen? I don't think you looked at Jonah with the whale throw up all over him on the seashore and said, what a winner, right? Man, what a victory. But Jonah cleans himself up and he goes and he preaches to Nineveh and he fulfills what God had for him. And this is the story that Jesus said, like the prophet Jonah, that's the only sign that's going to be given you. You say, now what does that have to do with Jesus? Well, it has much to do with Jesus. You see, just as Jonah was told to go to Nineveh to preach to the sinful inhabitants of Nineveh, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to do a couple things. Guess what? To preach to the sinful inhabitants of earth. The Bible says that He came unto His own and His own received Him not. Now see, Jonah had a hatred for Nineveh because he wasn't from Nineveh. In fact, there was, when we see Jonah, we see some of the first very instances of racism that's ever existed. He hated them as a race, as a people, as a culture, all those things. Well, I want you to know something. Jesus came to this earth to a people that was anti-Christ, that did not love Him, that hated everything He stood for. But here's what we know from that. Just as with Jonah, we know that God loves sinners. You know what's amazing today? Some of us have our own prejudices. We don't like some people that don't look like us. We don't like people from different cultures. Hey, I even have my own prejudices, you know, with different things and people from different places. And, you know, when I was in the Air Force, I used to would mess with people that were from California or were from New York. I tell them I'm from the South. We're not from the left coast, right, and all those things. And so we have those things. Well, let me tell you what about God. God don't have any prejudices. He loves every single person in the world. He loves the most wicked and vilest person that's ever been. He loves the worst sinner that you can imagine. Jesus Christ loves them, and God loves them. And as Jonah fled on that ship to Joppa, Jesus went willingly. He never went against what God warned him to do. And what we know by that today is that God, that Jesus Christ loves all races. He loves all cultures. He loves all people. You know, there are people around the world today that worship Jesus a lot different than what we look like today. They're not sitting in a building like this. They're not doing some of the same things. They don't sing some of the same songs. But they're worshiping Jesus like we are, amen? It might be a little different. It might look a little different. But they still love Him, and He loves them as well. And just as that, you know, whenever Jesus told the disciples He had to die, remember Jonah told the people in the ship, he said, y'all gotta throw me overboard. Y'all gotta get rid of me. You know what they said? They said, we don't want to do that. Man, they rowed the boat even harder trying to get to the shore. Well, Jesus told His disciples, He said, look, I've got to go to the cross of Calvary. I've got to go to Jerusalem, and there at Jerusalem, I got to be crucified for the sins of the world. You know what His disciples said? They said, we don't want to do that. They said, we don't want you to have to go. Peter said to Jesus, He said, oh, no, be it far from Thee, Lord. That's not going to happen to you. And I really believe with all my heart that the disciples tried to do everything in their power to not let that happen. Remember when they came to the Garden of Gethsemane to get Jesus, and Peter pulled a sword out and chopped off one of the soldier's ears? He was trying to do it. He said, oh, no, we're not about to let this happen. You're not taking him. I mean, Peter on everybody, right? Us against the world. I'm not going to let it happen. And just as they threw Jonah overboard and he was sacrificed for others, Jesus Christ was sacrificed for others. You know what happened to Jesus? They convicted Him, the Jewish religious world of that day convicted Him of religious crimes. You see, they were under a religious legal system. They had a legal system, and then they had a religious system. You know, it's kind of like, y'all heard about the missionary recently that was killed, who tried to go evangelize that island in India, and they shot him with arrows, and they buried him on the beach. Well, that island in India is isolated. Those people are still living like savages. They don't know anything of the outside world. And in the Indian government said, we're not going to get his, there ain't nobody going to get his body. They said, we don't mess with them. We leave them to themselves, and ain't nobody going to get it. And so guess what? He's still buried on the sand over there. Ain't nobody going to get him. Well, in the same way, they had a legal system in their day, but if the Jews trumped it, they said, we're not bothering them. That's their own deal. And the Jews convicted Jesus of blasphemy because they said, are you the Son of God? And he said, you said it. He said, I am the Son of God. And they convicted him of blasphemy. And they took him and they beat him beyond recognition. They beat him until his bones were exposed. They spit on him and they dressed him up like a king and beat a crown of thorns upon his head and mocked him and said, behold your king, the king of the Jews. And they did all this because he came to preach to them. They put him up on a cross. And there was a man named Pilate who said this. Pilate, when he convicted him and he tried his best not to, Pilate took the water and he said, I wash my hands of this man's blood. He's not on me. Do you remember in the book of Jonah what we talked about, what the sailor said? They said, God, do not let this man's blood be upon us. We don't want to do this, but this is what we have to do. And Pilate said, I washed my hands of it. You know what the people that crucified Jesus said? They said, put his blood on us. We'll be guilty of his blood. Put it on us and our children and our children's children. We'll take it upon us. So in contrast to the people of Jonah's day who said, we don't want his blood on us, in Jesus' day they said, we want his blood on us. We'll take it. And by the way, can I tell you something? They've been guilty of the blood of Christ for 2,000 years now. And they've lived with the consequences of the crucifixion for 2,000 years. So what were the consequences? The consequences is, there they are, living in the Holy Land. Living in a place where Jesus walked. Sailing the Sea of Galilee. And they're all doing it in absolute darkness without the light of the gospel in it because they said, you know what, we're going to kill him and you just go ahead and put his blood on us, on our children and our children's children. And God said, that's fine, I'll do it. And now you can live in darkness without the hope of the gospel. And so they said, we'll take his blood upon us. And they put Jesus on a cross and they crucified him and killed him. And just like in Jonah's day, after they threw Jonah overboard and the seas calm, you know what the Bible says? It said in Jonah's day that the men of the ship were afraid. Can you imagine being there on that ship and you throw Jonah overboard and the seas calm? You know what's going to make you think? Oh my God, who are we dealing with here? We're dealing with the God of all creation. We're dealing with God Almighty. This is a real deal. Well, let me tell you what happened after Jesus was crucified and died on the cross. The Bible says that while he was on the cross, the world went dark for a few hours. Can you imagine being there? And man, you've been hearing this guy's the Son of God, and you don't know, and maybe you had a part in putting him on the cross and all this stuff. You put him on the cross, now all of a sudden the suns went blacked out. The Bible says that the earth began to shake, that graves began to open, and that people come back from the dead. The Bible says that when Jesus died, you know, in the temple, in the Jewish temple, they had a veil that would separate the common people from the Holy of Holies, the place where only the priest could go. The Bible says that that veil was rent from top to bottom. And you know what the Bible says too? It says people were afraid. People were afraid. Just as in Jonah's day they were afraid, they were afraid in Jesus' day. And just as Jonah was swallowed up by this great fish that God prepared, do you know what? You know where Jesus went for 3 days and for three nights? He was swallowed up in hell. You know what Jesus did for us? Yes, he was the sacrifice on the cross for us. The Bible says where there is no shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And he was the sacrifice for my sins. The Bible says that on the cross, he that knew no sin became our sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Let me tell you what that means. That means that Jesus Christ became your sin so you could become his righteousness. God treated Jesus like you ought to be treated so I could be treated how Jesus ought to be treated. And that's how I'm treated today, whether you know it or not. God loves me today in spite of me. He loves me like a child. He loves me unconditionally. He don't love me because of anything I bring to the table. He loves me. But not only did Jesus become that on the cross, Jesus Christ went to hell, folks. You say, where'd he go for 3 days and three nights? Oh, he went to hell. And he suffered the pains and the suffering of hell on our behalf. Now, I don't know how long he was in hell. I don't know if he was in there for the whole 3 days and the three nights. Hey, some stuff we don't know. But let me tell you what I do know. I do know he tasted death for every man. And he paid the sin debt of every man. By the way, guess what my sin debt included? My sin debt included going to hell. And Jesus went down there. You know what? I wonder what Satan thought when Jesus showed up in hell. I bet he thought, oh, I have succeeded. Man, I got him to kill him on the cross, and now here he is in hell. But I wonder what he thought, just as Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, but God, through his power, caused that fish to go and spit him up, and he come back into life, so to speak. I wonder what the devil thought when Jesus said, my time here is done. And the Bible says that he got the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and Jesus Christ rose from the grave the third day victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And man, you know how I said Jonah probably didn't look like victory on that seashore as he's been in there for that long? I want you to know something. When Jesus Christ rose from the grave, he looked like victory. He looked like victory. And he rose from that grave 3 days and three nights later. And he told them. He said, just like the prophet Jonah, just like Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights, but he'll rise again. And folks, he said, that's the sign I'm going to give you. And as we look today, having the completed story and the whole deal, let me tell you what I know. Just as Jonah, when the fish spit him up, he went and preached to the people of Nineveh. And let me tell you what happened to the people of Nineveh. When he went and preached to them, and he told them, he said, you know, in 40 days, God's going to overthrow this place. The leader of Nineveh said, he said, everybody needs to get in sackcloth and ash, and we need to start praying to God. He said this. He said, because who knows what God will do? He said, God might change his mind. God might spare us. And God did. God saw that the people of Nineveh repented, and he spared them for years and years and years. He didn't overthrow the city in 40 days. Let me tell you what Jesus has been doing since he rose from the grave 2,000 years ago. He's been fulfilling God's plan for him every single day. You know what God's doing today? You know what Jesus Christ is doing today? He's doing two things. Number one, he is seeking and saving that which is lost. He's still doing that today. If you're here today and you're lost, I want you to know something. Jesus Christ is seeking you out. You say, man, I just come to church today. I wandered in church. Let me tell you what, you didn't wander in nowhere. Jesus Christ is seeking you out. Said, man, somebody witnessed to me at work the other day. Man, that's something. No, that's Jesus is seeking you out. Hey, man, my parents took me to church when I was a little kid. Isn't that good? Yeah, Jesus is seeking you out. Man, I went to a funeral. I wondered what it's going to be like when I die. Jesus is seeking you out. All these things. None of this is all coincidence and happenstance, folks. This is Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, seeking each and every one of us out to save us. That's his plan for all of us. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he is seeking us out in ways in which we cannot even imagine. every person that's ever come into the world who's thought something like this, where did I come from, or what's the purpose of life, or all this stuff, those aren't just general thoughts that we all have. That's a God who's seeking us out. And he wants to save the lost. But then the Bible also says this, that he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. You know what God's doing for you today that you're a believer? You say, I'm already a believer. I already given my life to Christ. Good. You know what he's doing for you today? He's making intercession for you. He prayed for you. You know, the Bible says this about Peter. Jesus told Peter this. He said, Satan wanted to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. I prayed for you. He intervenes on our behalf. Let me tell you what Satan wants to do to every one of us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy your family. I mean, I think about these little babies that we got here. People are going to be having babies. Our little twins turned a year old the other day. You know what? Satan wants to destroy them. But Jesus prays for me. Man, I'd destroy my own life if I was able to. If I'm left to myself, I just want y'all to know I'd make a mess of it. But Jesus prays for me. He says, no, I can't let that happen. I need to help you out. And so Jesus is praying for you today. By the way, he keeps me saved. I ain't kept myself saved one day. Jesus keeps me saved. The Bible says that I'm in his hand, and he's in the Father's hand. They can't nobody pluck me out. Jesus Christ rose from the grave victorious. He's alive today, and he's doing his job today. And just like it said in the prophet Jonah, just like that sign, 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, as Jonah was, so must the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. Folks, we got the whole record. We get the benefit of hindsight to see these things in the past. And what it does is it reconfirms our faith in the one that we're talking about and preaching about today, and that's Jesus Christ. And so I'd say this to you today. If you're lost here today, I want you to know something. Jesus Christ rose from the grave 3 days and 3 nights after he was crucified, and he rose in victory, and he's alive today, and he's seeking you out. He wants to save you. And if you are here saved today, I want you to know something else. Jesus Christ loves you, and he's praying for you, and he's interceding for you, and he's making a way for you. Amen. He wants to be an active part in your life. He wants to bring you where he wants you to go. Why don't we stand together today and have a time of invitation?